every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for anybody but ourselves, and we don't even do that well. None of the A's, none of the Anons.
None of them?
Not a one.
Wow.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelly.
Don't yawn. Don't you yawn know what? You're going to make people all over the world yawn.
And Mark.
Sorry.
Not to make me yawn. See?
You had to do that. How was your day, Shelly?
It was a day. I went to church. I did housework. I ate a cheeseburger.
Why don't you tell everyone about your cheeseburger adventure?
No, I don't really choose to do that.
I'll tell them.
Knock yourself out.
I'm driving back from... I went and spoke at the Fullerton Alano Club today. We're coming back. I'm going over the hill.
I heard you were amazing.
Yeah, according to me.
You're the only person I've talked to about it.
Yeah. Oh, I rocked the house. But we're coming over the hill, and I'm like... my friend's daughter says, "Hey, we should go to In-N-Out." So I call Shelly. I said, "You want to have In-N-Out? Maybe we'll meet at Starbucks. I'll get some hamburgers." And she says, "Okay." And so we go to In-N-Out, which has quite the long line.
Of course.
We go and we get our burgers. We go over to Starbucks and we're sitting there and we're eating and the hamburgers are almost gone. And finally, I said, "I should call Shelly. It's been half an hour." And she goes, "You're supposed to call me when you get done in In-N-Out." And I'm like...
You forgot.
Well, her assertion is that I said we're going to be there, but my assertion is that I said that we'll go to In-N-Out, we'll meet you down at Starbucks. But we ate... No, see, people on the air, they don't know about that which is In-N-Out. You want to tell them, Shelly, about what In-N-Out is?
It's a burger joint.
It's not just a burger joint.
It's the
it's
burger
the
joint.
Burger.
Actually, anybody who's ever read the book Fast Food Nation will know exactly what In-N-Out is, because it's the only fast food establishment that was recommended by the author as being safe to eat in the country.
Bomb-tastic burgers. How was your day, Mark?
It was good till I lit the cigar and I can't get any draw off of it. But
there's...
Oh, my God, it's a tragedy.
No, you don't know. It is a tragedy.
Stick in it or something.
There's
Jeez.
Plenty of other
yeah,
ones.
I know. We're going to go to another one.
There's plenty of others.
Yep.
Get a Nub or a Fury. They both draw well.
Yeah, that one didn't draw so well. I had a good day today. I had a great day today. My football team won the Super Bowl.
You're a Ravens fan?
I am a Ravens fan. I was today especially.
Me, I don't care. All I care is that my Bears had a better record than the Cowboys.
I don't care either. I'm wearing the official Recovery 101 Titan jersey right now.
That's right.
Shelly is wearing the official Titans jersey that our number one Fran sent.
Yes.
To Shelly.
Yeah, I'm a little put out by that.
Why?
Hey, you don't have to sit here and look at your wife wearing the jersey.
Yeah, you didn't get one either.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Just me. Fran likes me best.
Well, you know, understandably.
No, everybody likes you best.
Pretty much. Mark and I could be gone tomorrow from the show. And I remember years ago there was a show host who shall remain nameless. He said, if I wasn't on this show would crash. That's when we were running about number 500th place on Podomatic. And then he left, and I think today we're at number two.
Yeah.
You know,
no one's irreplaceable.
No.
Not even me.
Especially
not me.
You know what that means?
What's it mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Bruce caught me going after a cigar.
Well, and I started to go, and my first doot, like, didn't materialize.
Good dutus interruptus.
Uh-oh.
What?
You went there.
Brother. Okay, we have shout-outs to Bill, Donald, Deborah, Brian. I think that's
who's
it.
Brian?
And once again, got to put out a prayer there for Fran, who's recovering from her surgery.
Yes, absolutely. Prayers to you, girl.
Get better fast.
What'd I miss?
Because we need some more Florida news. We're running short on Florida news these days.
How is that possible?
Because Fran was the only one who sent it in.
You can't go to any, like, strange or crazy news without half of it being about Florida.
Scientists at the University of Chile.
I'll bet it's cold.
No, Chile, like South America. Have created what they're calling the alcoholism vaccine.
What?
Which sounds an awful lot like an abuse to me.
Can
but
you
it's
slam
not,
it?
You have to.
No, I mean slam it. Like that's, intravenous.
Yes, that's... Well, okay. It sounds a lot like an abuse because it will give you an immediate hangover if you drink even a few sips of booze.
That
severe hangover.
Sound fun at all.
No, a severe immediate hangover.
Yeah, but I had lots of hangovers back in the day. That never stopped me from drinking.
Well, it sounds a lot like Anabuse. The difference is Anabuse was something you had to take every day. So a lot of people would say, well, I ain't going to take that because they wanted to drink. Well, the only way to get this administered is by injection, and it lasts for 6 months. So once you get the shot, you're kind of screwed.
So wait a minute, though. If you get a really bad hangover, can't you just drink the hair of the dog that bit you?
It doesn't say anything like that. But what I found interesting about the article is that the university's director, Dr. Juan Asenjo, he said that while the vaccine is not a cure-all, it could be an important first step. Huh. And then he told the newspaper, people who end up alcoholic have a social problem, a personality problem, because they're shy.
This is
shy?
A guy who's doing research?
Yes. He's doing research on alcoholism. He doesn't know us very well, does he? Because shy is not something I was ever accused of.
Before I had a drink or two.
Not some people.
Not even then.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you know you got to look. There's a lot of home drinkers.
You know what?
Lots
I was
of
a home drinker, but I still wasn't a shy
until
person.
I got through my first gram or two, I wasn't worth a crap.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And he claims that alcoholism is that we have a social problem.
He's a doctor.
I would assert that Bill W. in the Big Book says we all know is alcohol is a social lubricant.
Yes, but to
he's
say that the disease of alcoholism is a social problem and not an illness, if it's not an illness, why is he trying to develop a vaccine?
That's a good point.
Well.
There you go.
So the vaccine's good for 6 months?
Yes.
Hey, there's a kid you almost ran over.
Hey, how you doing?
Mark was driving over and almost ran over our son.
I was
son
the guy who was coming
street.
Up when you were crossing the street that suddenly hit his brakes to slow down.
Connor's like, I didn't even see you.
Okay, and what do you need?
He was too busy smoking weed. Hey, nobody at home can hear that.
We just started.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, what should we talk about while Shelly's having a discussion here on the side?
Sorry. He was going to take the trash cans out, but I don't think that we really want rumble, rumble, rumble in the background.
Well, it's also we alerted people that it was coming.
Oh, I guess I got to scroll to the next story here. Yeah. Do. Okay, Zimbabwe. We're going to Zimbabwe.
My name is Don. I'm from Zimbabwe, man.
After paying their public workers' salaries last week, the government has a whopping $217 in the till.
Hey, Zimbabwe's positive.
You know what? They're doing better
than
we are.
Right. Yeah.
After we paid everybody, we added another $400 billion to our deficit.
Yes, well, apparently their government went into a free fall and has been in a free fall for the last 30 years.
You haven't been watching us for the last 4 years?
But they're still above water.
The government began seizing white-owned farms, turning them over to natives. That demolished investor confidence in the country. Production went downhill. There were international sanctions, and the tourist trade pretty much disappeared.
Actually, the funny thing is, in my pocket right now, I'm richer than Zimbabwe. That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I might be close. Jumping. I might be close.
That's awesome. Mark and I together are kicking Zimbabwe's ass.
That's right.
In money.
So, basically, they're going to ask the international community for help. And I say that if we give them money, I'm going to be really pissed. Because I'm sick of giving money to people that... I'm sick of giving money to people. We don't have money. Wait. Why are we giving away money we don't have?
My question is always, how are we giving away money? I always wonder that. We give money to other countries, yet we have this huge deficit. It's like, how exactly does that work?
We borrow it from China, and then we give it to...
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Yeah. It's like the reverse of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
We rob from ourselves and give to the poor.
Nice.
Yikes. In Evansville,
which
Indiana.
Which one? Indiana? There's a lot of Evansvilles.
No, it might not be Indiana. It's probably somewhere in Utah because I think Brian sent this to me.
Oh, I was going to say, is it anywhere near Gary? Gary, Indiana?
No. Anyway, 68-year-old woman, she was home with her granddaughter. They were watching TV when all of a sudden the window shattered, the front door blew open, and flashbang grenades were thrust into her home, damaging quite a lot of the interior, the contents of the home.
Nice.
The police then charged in, threw the two women on the floor, handcuffed them, carted them out to the police car in front of their neighbors, did not tell them what was going on. They had not a clue what was going on. And then seized their computers because they claimed that the women had been making terroristic threats against the police department. Women didn't know anything, had no idea what was going on. Somebody hijacked their Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Now, without doing any extra research to check and make sure that their Wi-Fi connection was secure, if there had been any incoming signal, anything like that, went and basically blew up their house and arrested them.
Do you know how you can...
Did they apologize at the end?
No.
Do you know how you can really...
In fact,
they
said that they were not responsible because they had to protect the police.
Well, and you know what's so dumb about that? A cop in his cop car could have checked if the Wi-Fi was available by trying to access it with his smartphone.
Right.
If they if he went and it said it was open, then he'd know.
They did eventually find the person who actually did make the threats by doing a little research. Yeah, lawsuit.
You got to lead with your strength.
We have Lilo news.
Really?
Yep.
Lilo's been gone for a bit.
Well, actually, she's got three misdemeanor charges against her that she is up on court.
New ones?
Yes, because she was driving when she wasn't supposed to. Now, interestingly enough, she's sober, but she's not supposed to be driving.
She has what's her name as
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love is a sponsor.
Yes, but she wasn't supposed to be driving, and she got caught, and then she lied to a cop about having driven when she crashed into the back of a truck.
Yeah, because no sober people do that.
See, if she used me as a sober coach, I could have driven her, and she would not be having another problem.
Yes, well, okay.
I'm going to get right on that.
We have Ron Jeremy news.
Oh, awesome. A well-spoken man, as a matter of fact.
He's actually in intensive care right now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's in critical
urinary
condition.
Urinary tract infection, that could kill him.
He's in critical condition after having an aneurysm near his heart.
Oh. That's okay, this is serious.
Because when you hear aneurysm anything with him, you're never quite sure what it could be.
He's come out of the surgery, but is in intensive care, and it's touch and go at the moment.
Oh.
Did you know that within the porn industry, that Jeremy was known as the hedgehog because of his stocky build and his abundance of body hair?
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, like, I guess...
We do now.
These starlets would say, yeah, I'm doing a scene with the hedgehog. Oh.
Guess he was abundant in more places than we thought.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, if you're a porn star, you want to, like, have them say, hey, I'm doing a porn scene with the anaconda. No, it's the hedgehog. Jeez.
Yes, he made over... he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Between 1978 and 2012, he made over 2,000 porn films.
He's my hero. He's my hero. Yeah, that's a hero. Wait a minute. Did you say Did you say we were talking about
Ron Jeremy?
We were speaking of Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, the hardest
porn,
man in showbiz,
the porn king of the world.
Yes, he recently put out his memoirs, Ron Jeremy, the hardest man in showbiz, with the word working in parentheses underneath. You know, hardest working.
Yeah.
But
we got it.
We got it. Okay, good. We've got a little plug here. I got an email from a recovering addict in the UK named David.
Fuck.
Hi, David.
He loves listening to our show. Hi, David. He's from near Blackpool in the UK.
Fuck.
And he just wanted to let us know. I'm giving him a plug for his website is www.dmcmedia.org.uk. He has a nonprofit organization that helps recovering addicts learn the ropes in terms of like film production, video production, music production, stuff like that.
It's funny that comes on and right after the Ron Jeremy story.
It does, but I happen to click into that email next.
Didn't we just... And correct me if I'm wrong. I want to see if what's this gentleman's name?
David.
Didn't we just do a story like 2 weeks ago or a week ago talking about the porn industry moving to the UK?
UK, yeah.
Then we do a story about Ron Jeremy. Then we do a story about David's company starting up video productions for addicts. And
No, it's not for them. It's to help them learn the business so that they can
make new porn movies.
All right, well... So, if you are one of our listeners in the UK and you are a recovering addict and you'd like to find out more about this, go to dmcmedia.org.uk.
We're all kidding. I'm sure it's not porn.
I'm positive it's not.
If it is, David, I'm available for editing.
No, you're not. Anyway. okay. A couple weeks ago, one of our neighbors had two pianos stolen out of his home. I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the show, but I think we might have.
Yeah.
And
Mr. Cooper.
And we thought, Bruce and I thought, well, that's got to be an inside job.
Yeah, how weird is that?
What random burglar goes into somebody's house through the back alleyway and steals two pianos?
You got to be prepared to take two pianos.
Right.
They're still your humidor.
Yeah, but that was
just a
box.
I know, but you could
carry
that
in
your hand. You know, it's like two pianos. You got to have a good sized truck and stuff.
So anyway, today Bill Piper sent me a story that explains what happened.
An update,
yes,
from our neighborhood from Bill Piper
in somewhere else, Fresno.
Yeah.
So, four men have been arrested on suspicion of burglarizing homes in the Covina, West Covina, and other local areas. They have some kind of a connection to the distributors of the Los Angeles Times. Basically, what the cops realized, you know, they're looking at all these burglaries, trying to figure out what the common thread is. And one of the cops said, Metro detectives in West Covina, Sergeant Michael Mayer. The one through line in all the burglaries is that they were all L.A. Times subscribers who had put a stop vacation thingy on their papers.
Oh.
So the burglars knew that they wouldn't be there because they'd put a vacation stop on their papers.
Oh.
And this is why I don't have the paper.
Yes.
Yeah, so now they're investigating the distributors to find out who leaked private information like that. And the property was recovered. Almost all the property was recovered. They hadn't fenced it yet. Over $100,000 worth of stuff.
Where's my humidor?
Interestingly enough, one of my golf clubs. One of the homes that they burglarized, they found the spare keys to the car that was still in the garage. So they loaded the car up with all the valuables and stole the car. And the car was parked at the apartment of these guys.
Oh, these guys are bright.
Yeah, they're really smart.
Most guys would say go to, I don't know, the chop shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Park in front of the old lady and the little girl's house that are watching TV.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about the Bacon Festival, the Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival going on in Iowa next week?
I don't go to that.
I don't remember.
All 8,000 tickets sold out in 3 minutes.
Dude, I would so go to a Bacon Festival. I would be one of the first guys in line.
Well, Governor Terry Branstad has pardoned one of the pigs.
Has what?
Pardoned one of the pigs. Oh. You know how they pardon a turkey at the White House?
I thought you said he hardened.
No, pardon.
I'm like, this is just a callback to the porn we're talking about a minute ago.
Bonnie the pig will not be participating in the Bacon Festival.
But the Spiral Ham Festival coming up is going to be a big hit.
I got to tell you, I would so go. I think that that governor should invite us to be roving reporters.
You should apply for a press pass.
You know what? I have a feeling that if we really put our minds to it, we could probably go to a number of things.
Yep.
In New Orleans,
New Orleans,
Jessica Sanchez, who was a field reporter for the local 6 News, was doing a Bourbon Street live report. She was not in the mood to have her live report taken over by a drunk loudmouth person that, you know how you get the photo bombers in the background?
Those. Yeah.
So she turned around and pulled the video bomber aside and said, on camera, so we were just talking about the startling rise in sexually transmitted diseases that's going around on around here. So how long have you had your STD?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ow. So the woman quickly decided she didn't want to be on television and ran off.
And now is suing the station for defamation of character?
Might have been definition of character.
Yeah, well, it might have been.
It might have been.
You know what? If I was her, I'd sue. And I think she could win.
If I was them, I'd test.
Yeah.
And this next story from... Oh, wait a minute. Nope, not the next story. This story will have to wait because we're past time. It is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
We are, pretty much.
After we're, Shelley brought out homemade brownies. How much hash did you put in those brownies, by the way?
Just a little bit. Only like 10 ounces or so.
Okay. Oh, just a tad.
10 ounces.
Is that a lot?
10 ounces of hash?
Yeah. Is that a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oops.
We should do this show
really fast.
Yeah, 10 ounces of hash. That would be more than,
of course,
the brownies are.
If you had a visual in the studio right now, we'd all look like the dog who just got a bite of peanut butter in their mouth. I'll sit here going.
I know. We almost came back from break a minute earlier, and I'm like, I can't really talk right now.
Good brownies, though.
So, Shelley, we had a topic, and you even made up the name for it.
Let's get specific.
Let's get specific. Yeah. Mark?
Yes.
How did this come about?
Well, it came about, I've always been one of those who's been very critical of AA's singleness of purpose.
Yes.
But it seems I've been in a lot of meetings, because Cocaine Anonymous says powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances.
Yes.
And I'm running into more and more people as you talk to them that really, really, I would say truly, do not have a problem with alcohol. They have a problem with cocaine, or they have a problem with crystal meth, or they have a problem with a drug they had that was their choice, but that was their problem. And as you talk to them, they're like, yeah, I don't really get this thing. I had like a glass of wine like once a week, or a drink at like three events a year.
Yeah, but, I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't either, but where's the program for people who truly have a problem with a substance besides AA?
You mean a singleness of purpose,
a singleness
meeting
of purpose
besides
meeting.
AA?
Yes.
So, like, why isn't there a Cocaine Anonymous meeting that is specific to cocaine?
Right.
Or a you couldn't really do that with Narcotics Anonymous or Crystal Meth. Well, Crystal Meth Anonymous, but all the other guys say you can't do any mind-altering chemicals.
Right.
So this is almost like the anti. This is like Mark kind of being in support, possibly, of a singleness of purpose to a drug program?
I don't think I'm in support of it, but it's come up enough that I've noticed that there are those people out there.
Interesting.
Where's their program?
I was at an AA meeting in Pasadena. We've got a traveling meeting. We go out on Saturdays. We go to different places. We went to Pasadena to the 202 Club, and a guy was sharing and in an AA meeting had no problem saying that he didn't really find himself to be an alcoholic. He says, I'm not really an alcoholic. He says, I'm a heroin addict, which I kind of found strange that he's sharing this in an AA meeting, which does have singleness of purpose. I'm like, of all the places you could be sharing this, probably the AA meeting isn't the place to say that you're not really an alcoholic.
No.
Because that would be the one place for sure you shouldn't be.
Well, why not? It's a 12-step meeting.
But it has singleness of purpose, and he says he's not an alcoholic. Now, if he could go to Narcotics Anonymous, he could go to
Did he identify
heroin
as an
anonymous.
Alcoholic before he started sharing?
Huh?
Did he identify as an alcoholic before he started sharing?
He said, I'm an alcoholic addict, but I really don't feel like I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
And he goes, and I really don't think that I have a problem with alcohol. And I was like, it's a strange place to be.
It is.
To do that.
It is. Because where do you go?
What do you think, Shelley?
I think possibly the people that have a single substance problem and don't demonstrate a problem with alcohol are possibly the ones that kick the substance and then disappear. We never see them again. Because their problem literally was they had too much fun on that and it was ruining their lives, so they stopped doing that and they felt no need to work any steps and they just disappeared.
So you can get well?
I don't know how well you get, but I think, frankly, I think there are, I think, a lot of, quote, normies that could use a program.
Yeah.
Well, true enough. I've said it before on the show that I had a friend in AA that said, I smoke a couple doobs a week, and
God?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, Mom's calling. So.
Mom's calling.
I thought it was God.
So we vamp.
But when it's God, we send it to voicemail. When it's Mom,
we
answer.
we know where God stands.
That's the proper way to do things. So.
Saw a thing on the internet. A cop was asked once in an interview, like a job interview, what would you do if you were called on to arrest your own mother? Mm-hmm. And his reply was, call for backup.
Yeah. Good, so. So, yeah, I mean, I was just wondering, as far as our topic goes, what do you do with those people? Where do they go? Where is is chip taking for periods of sobriety overrated? I mean, because if you truly, if I was in a CA meeting, I had a major problem with cocaine.
Yeah, we know that.
I don't know that I was an alcoholic. I know I drank like one at times. But if I was there and I didn't have a problem with alcohol, and I'm in a CA meeting.
Right.
And I drank normally.
Okay.
And still took a cake every year because I don't feel that I have a problem with alcohol. Would there be something wrong with that?
Well, yes, in terms of CA's... statement, all other mind-altering substances.
Yeah,
that includes alcohol.
That statement was put in there by a bunch of... Couldn't we, by group conscience, change that?
That'd have to be a heck of a group... World services kind of group conscience.
But couldn't we?
I missed that.
I suppose they could.
Couldn't. If I was a cocaine addict.
Yes.
But not an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was a bunch of people like us at the beginning who decided to say powers over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances.
Correct.
Couldn't we do a World Services group conscience on a certain level and change that? Because it was people who put it in. This wasn't
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
You mean develop a singleness of purpose?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could.
Well, then a lot of people like me wouldn't even be able to go to CA because we're not... I'm not a cocaine addict. I never
did. But you're powerless over cocaine.
I don't know whether I am or not. I never tried it.
See?
That's true. It's one of those sticky wickets. You know, yeah, possibly. I mean, sure, it's mob rules. You know, I mean, it's group conscience on everything. So, I mean, if you had enough people if you had enough GSRs that all said, let's do away with that, and you could probably do away with that.
You know what? I bet if I formulated the group conscience correctly.
Here we go. You
could get everyone to vote for it. We've talked about that many times. Yeah. All you need to do is, hey, what we were thinking we might do at this meeting is blah, 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 blah. How does that sound, everyone? Let's take a group conscience, and everyone
all
will
in favor
vote
say
for
aye.
It.
And yeah. Aye means it'd be like Prop 8 in California.
Yeah, where they worded it
if
backwards.
If you voted yes, it means you were not in favor of gay marriage. You
right,
know?
They worded it backwards.
Yeah. I think if you just worded the group conscience backwards, everybody would vote for it.
There were tons of people that voted for that that thought they were voting the other way.
I know.
Well, so back to the thing that I was saying about my friend.
Uh-huh.
She said I smoke a couple joints a week, and I was like horrified. And she goes, that's why I go to AA. She goes, I go to AA because I don't have a problem with weed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, because I do have a problem with weed, I'm like, ah! And she goes, when I drink, all bets are off. I do horrible, outrageous things. I can never, once I start to drink, I can't tell you where I end up. I can't tell you what's going to happen. And when I smoke a dupe, I don't get that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it's not that I could go against what she was saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the evidence was that for 20-something years of not drinking,
she
doesn't smoke
have a problem.
Dupe every once in a while.
But she doesn't have a problem with it.
We know people that have been blatantly abusing their prescription medication and are taking multiple year cakes in AA.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
But that's not exactly what you're talking about,
no.
Because they have a problem with another substance. They're just hiding in AA.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to deal with the other substance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's people who don't have, I mean, I would tell you that I'd never use cocaine as like a normal person again.
Yeah.
But I never had a particular problem with marijuana.
When I first came, I used to tell people I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah, same thing. It was the only reason I started saying I was an alcoholic because my sponsor told me before I shared an AA meeting I had to say that I was an alcoholic. He says, "Don't screw around with it; just say it." I said, "Okay."
Of course, for me, if I had not started doing cocaine and meth and just continued to drink, I'm sure I would have. I already drank somewhat alcoholically anyway. I'm sure I would have. You know, without having the other substances to go to, down the slippery slope of drug addiction, I believe that I probably would have showed up about the age I am now, really tore up, saying I need to get sober from alcohol.
You know, I'm not sure. I think what it is maybe more so, I'm not sure I'm an alcoholic. I am sure I don't want to find out if by drinking I would go back to my drug of choice or become one.
Absolutely.
That's where the difference is for me. I don't want to know. I know every time I picked up a drink, I picked up a telephone.
Yes.
And next thing I know, I was mirror deep in a pile of cocaine.
You guys have heard me share it many times. You know, the guy tell the guy, I'm not an alcoholic. What's the most you ever drank at one time? I drank 29 kamikazes in an hour and a half at the Borzet.
Uh-huh.
Do you think normal people drink that way? Everybody I know drinks that way. Everyone you know is an alcoholic.
Not necessarily. Do you drink that way on a consistent basis or it's something you did once?
I didn't drink 29 kamikazes in an hour on a consistent basis.
Because I mean, I don't.
I might drink 20 kamikazes in a night on a consistent basis.
I know a lot of normal people who tie one on every now and then.
Yeah, but when I was drinking, I tied one on pretty much every night. Which is a problem. But I had no problem putting it down. I put alcohol down in a second.
That's right. As soon as the Coke showed up.
How about you, Shelly? Did you drop alcohol like a hot rock when you had some hot rock?
No. I'm kind of screwed in all the programs because I'm an alcoholic. I never did any drugs, so it's not like an either-or situation for me. They all say no mind-altering substances, and there's AA. So there's no program for me to go to where I can... Wait, no, I don't want to do that. Never mind.
Wait.
Because you can go to AA.
I can go to every program.
Yeah, you go to all of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of hosed. But the people that...
And you have a program of singleness of purpose anyway.
Yeah.
As long as I stick with AA, I can go out and like try the cocaine thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, because...
You just can't go to CA, NA, CMA, or any of the other
A's. Here's another question. You go... Somebody like our friend Marty has 23 years, and over the last year and a quarter, he's been going to FAIR.
F-A-I-R.
If he stopped going there and put weight back on, does he have to give up his sobriety for all the programs since he has admitted that food is a mind-altering substance for him? Would he lose all his sobriety and all the programs?
No.
Ooh.
Why not? He's admitted it's a mind-altering substance for him.
But the other programs don't include that substance.
All mind-altering substances, they're not specific.
Well, but food isn't mind-altering in that sense.
I think that in that program, Food Addicts in Recovery, it talks about you utilizing food the same way you utilize drugs for the same types of reasons and... You know, comfort and whatever. So that, you know, that is kind of an interest. We're going to I'm gonna have to front Marty off about that and say, Marty, you gain an ounce, dude. Yeah.
No, because
you're
then
done.
What that means then, if that's what you're saying, then that means that Marty doesn't have 23 years. He has like 9 months.
Ooh.
Things that make you go.
Wow.
I don't know. I think that for a single...
I'm going to say, Marty, Mark said you only got 9 months.
Mark said you're out.
No, Shelly said you only got 9 months. Yeah, Mark said you went out. I'm still with you, Marty.
No, I don't think he went out. But my question is, now that that's come up for him...
Oh, he hasn't gone out yet because he hasn't gained a bunch of weight.
Right. But if he puts 5 pounds back on...
That's like me having an A-line.
Yeah.
Is that like me having an A-line?
Does he take newcomer chips in all every meeting he walks into?
I don't know.
I'm not saying. I'm
just saying. So, Shelly, what would your final words on Get Specific be?
I don't know. I think that for single issue people single drug people, not alcohol people, but single drug people that don't want to deal with the non-singleness of purpose, perhaps for them, they just have one. There are tons and tons of people. You know, they say that only 5% of people in any type of recovery situation stay sober or clean or whatever. They're the 5% that did it on their own, that went somewhere else, that said, you know what, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a problem. So they're the ones that we always say, oh, they disappeared, like they've died or something. They probably didn't die. They just didn't feel the need to. You know, we know people that are now drinking like a gentleman. They had a problem with Coke. They decided they did not have a problem with alcohol, so they left the program, and from what I see on their Facebook, they're having a lovely life. You know, I mean, I don't know. Is that a final word? I don't really have a final word. This isn't a subject I can make any kind of moral judgment about because it's not my recovery. It's between them and God.
That's a great final word.
That's a great final word. You just took mine.
I'm done.
Mark?
As I say, it's all between you, God, and your sponsor, so, you know, it's, you know, you do it. Do what you're comfortable with. All I can say is, it does say in the big book that if you don't think you're an alcoholic, try drinking like a gentleman. And those who can, our hats are off to them.
And I go along with what you said earlier. My final words would be, And realistically, I even when I was a drinker, it's not like I got up in the morning thinking about booze. I used to have a hard time with that in AA because I didn't feel like the way I did about other drugs. I didn't feel like I had to get up in the morning and drink or have, you know, booze by my bedside that I could have a few swigs in the middle of the night. I was never like that. But I sure wouldn't risk it to find out.
Yeah.
Because I'm allergic to alcohol. I break out in handcuffs. Shelly was having a second last thought, I think.
No, I remembered something I was going to say earlier, but it's okay. We can move on.
Oh, well.
What?
Okay.
Then who's our friends back east?
That would be Bruce, the other white meat. Oh, he run. Wait. Whatever. I just blew that one, didn't
that
I?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Whatever. Jeez. He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark?
Yes?
Someone's listening to the show.
The number two rated show in the world of Podomatic, that one?
Yeah.
We are number two. Wait, no, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, no, that sounds great to
sounds
me.
Sounds great to...
What?
Sounds much better to us than the 94,000 pod...
We actually have, and I wish I'd written down the names, we actually have two or three new followers on Podomatic that are leaving comments and stuff. I've seen them in the last couple of days.
Yeah, there's some good comments.
Yeah.
And the reason they're good comments is because these people have joined Podomatic.
For free.
For free and for fun. If it is, they clicked on the show at recovery101.net and took them to the Podomatic site where they listened to our show there. They joined Podomatic because there was a little box that popped up and invited them to do so. Once they did that, you can go to Permalink and you can comment on the show. You can follow. You can add us to playlists. And
hell yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, click like and go comment and come on in and play, interact, and go
show
click.
Topics.
Yeah, you leave show topics on the comments on the current show that's up. And go click on our sponsors' links also and go see what's up with all of them.
That's a great, great idea. And also check out the bands. There's our lead out bands always have a link that takes you to their Facebook page or to their www page, and you can check out their stuff. And if you like them, you know, go buy their CD. We've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Don't take yourself too damn seriously.
Shelly, are you taking yourself seriously?
What?
Apparently not. Who's the lead on music by?
Booby Trap.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.